Today, I am joined by our Director of Sales, Rachel Chu. She just spent an hour teaching our team the do's and don'ts of follow-up. I invited her here to teach you guys as well. We go through four do's and four don'ts to how to make sure you get your follow-up done as good as possible, avoid some common pitfalls, and also we end it with talking about some metrics to track to make sure that you're doing your job, following up with your leads, following up with your clients, following up with your past clients to make sure you don't get forgotten. That's all on this week's episode of Real Estate Success, The Whistle Way. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I am joined by our Director of Sales, Rachel Chu. You have probably seen her on our YouTube channel. You have seen snippets from her meetings. You have seen her talking about overcoming objections. Rachel is a phenomenal leader in our company, but also a phenomenal salesperson. We do our objection handling every quarter. We do a contest. She's won it twice. Three times. And so then she stopped doing it. She's like, we need to let other people do it. And she's also, she hosts a lot of our weekly meetings. And we just, she just hosted a weekly meeting on the do's and don'ts of follow-up. And so I said, Rachel, let's talk about that on our podcast. And that's what we're going to do today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. This is a topic I love.
And it's a topic you're great at. I when we were planning this out, I had to tell you, stop. That we have enough for like seven podcasts already. We need to go to the next part. And so Rachel, as people are listening to this, if they want to connect with you for more information, either about joining our team here or just have a question about sales skills or anything, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Absolutely. Easy. First and last name at Whistle Realty. That's Rachel Chu, R-A-C-H-E-L-C-H-O-O, like Choo Choo Train, at whistlerealty.com.
Cool. Email it is. So let's kick off right into it. And let's talk about the do's and don'ts of follow-up. Follow-up, if you're listening to this, is probably your absolutely favorite thing to do in life. I say sarcastically. Follow-up is not something typically that agents love to do. It's something that they're typically not great at. And it's something that we know for a fact, due to lack of follow-up, we lose out on deals over and over and over and over and over and over again. So Rachel, you talked about a really great analogy for follow-up, talking about like baking a pie. Go ahead and kind of run us through that. Because once you said that, I was go, oh yeah, that, we're missing a lot of things there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times in classical real estate or just in a lot of general sales training, you hear the term lead gen and lead follow-up used interchangeably, but they're not the same. And I think it's important to understand the distinction between them and utilize both as you're following up with leads to help maximize your earnings, right? And so there's lead generation, which is adding people to your database, adding numbers, contact information, putting them in the database, right? That's just feeding your funnel. Mm-hmm. And so it's nothing more than that. You're not actually working them. You're not doing any of that. And the follow-up is the part where you actually follow up with them. You call them, you make that connection, you build that rapport. And so lead generation is a lot like if you're baking a berry pie, let's say, lead generation is you're gathering the berries in the basket. Weird analogy, but it just made sense in my brain, right? So you're picking the berries, you're putting them all in your basket. You need a lot of berries to make a good pie, right? You can't, same with follow-up, right? You need a lot of clients, you need a lot of leads in your CRM in order to have a healthy pipeline and to have closings, right? So every time you're generating leads, you want to put a lot of those berries in the basket. And so a lot of your day should be spent adding more people to your funnel, right? How can I get more people into my funnel who will eventually transact, right? And so we have to generate those leads. And then once we have them, we have to follow up with those leads, right? Add the other ingredients. And, you know, the pie doesn't actually taste good unless you bake it, right? Add all the other ingredients, take the time, nurture it, and make it something delicious. And so the follow up is adding those other ingredients, putting it in the oven. And, you know, that's how you get that delicious pie. So all of those parts are important for the whole meal.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was thinking of 100 different analogies, right? Like when you talked about gathering berries, I was thinking hunter and gather. Yeah. But if you go and hunt and you kill your food, you can't eat it. You that's part one. That's you're hunting, you're capturing the lead, mm-hmm. but you have to prepare the food if you want to actually survive.
Totally.
So,
yeah.
So follow up is massively important. If you don't believe follow up is important, you can stop at this point now because we're going to talk a lot about it. So, and I think this is an area where it's harder. It's a long-term game. There's not instant gratification. It's where a lot of people lose out. But I ask every time I talk to new agent groups, I say, anyone that's been in the business for a couple years or more, I say, who has had a situation where a friend, a family member, a lead in your database, when you connect with them, they go, oh, I just bought a house 2 weeks ago.
The worst.
Every agent that's been in the business for 2 years or more is like, it's happened to me. And I go, honestly, that was your fault. Like, you didn't follow up with them. You didn't add value. You weren't there for them. That's on you. So what I want to do is in this podcast is help you avoid that pain. If you've been in the business for 2 years or more, you have felt that pain. If you haven't been in the business, you will feel that pain. It happens to every single agent. But let's let it happen less often. So some of the do's and don'ts of follow-up, I'm going to start with the easy one. This is the one that if you're listening to this, you know what's coming. We're going to get it out of the way and we're not going to talk about it for too long. Speed to lead.
Super important, right? Like the faster that you can reach out, the better. There's actually like a 500% increase if you reach out within the first 5 minutes of somebody coming to your database, which is huge, right? And we all know how hard it is to get a hold of each other. We all ignore phone calls. We get a bunch all day. So the faster that you can do it, the better, but done is better than perfect. So even if you can't reach out in the first 5 minutes, as long as you schedule some time to do it at some point, but speed to lead for sure, an easy one.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, because I think a lot of times we live in different worlds. We live in the, I'm working and I'm doing follow-up and I don't want to bug them. I don't want to feel like a creep, right? But then on the other side, you are a consumer as well. And I can't tell you how many times I needed something done around my house. I'll reach out to people, just post on Facebook or I use the app Angie. I love that app. And literally, if I'll get one call sometimes when they submit it to like seven people. Well, that's the guy that's trimming my trees.
Yeah.
Garage door. If you want to see good speed to lead, apparently this is the best I've ever seen. Garage door repairman. Literally, I put it in. My phone rang four times within the first minute. I was like, let's go.
Does he want a job here?
I offered him. He said he's got to make 200K. And I said, I'll let you know when you want to become an agent. Let's talk about it. He was really, really good. So, okay. Speed to lead, obvious. Call as soon as you get to it. You can't call too fast. If they're looking for information about a property now, kids or life or work or food, something will come up in the next 20 minutes where it's like, I'm off that subject. Speed to lead, obvious. This one, the next one you talked about as the do, number two, was come from familiarity. I love this a lot. And tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah. So a lot of times when I ask somebody, you know, what do you think that means? I get met with a response of, oh, you know, relate to them, find some common ground. And that's true. Both of those things are valid. But more specifically, what I mean is in your intro. So when you come from familiarity, when you call somebody, the worst thing you can do is say, hey, is this Brian?
I think there's worse. Hi, this is Brian from Whistle Realty.
Right, the question mark. Right, yeah, both. Either way, though, when you check to see, you don't have that confidence. And so what I'd rather hear is, hey, Brian, it's Rachel at Whistle Realty. I'm calling because, you know, and I'm going to go into my intro. And so the reason that I want this, the reason this is so important is, I don't know if you've ever been at like a grocery store or somewhere in public, and maybe you see somebody from like high school or somebody from a group and you're like, I should know you. Hey. And you have this awkward interchange where you almost feel bad that they're so excited to see you or so happy and you don't remember them or you couldn't remember their name. I want that same thing to happen when we are on the phone. I want to be so, so sure that this is who you are. I'm excited to talk to you, that you feel kind of bad hanging up on me. You feel a little guilty because, oh my gosh, she really sounds like she wants to talk to me. Do I know her from somewhere? I want those few extra seconds. So one, I can get out my full intro before you hang up on me. And two, I want to be that infectious, upbeat energy so you feel at least a little bit bad hanging up on me, right? And so it allows me to have that really sure confidence, which is usually contagious, allows me to get my intro out, and usually gives them a few seconds of, wow, do I know her? You know, what is this call coming from? And it kind of just softens up that intro.
I love this. I've been saying this for years, and I would hear agents say it. I'm like, try. So I love that. But I can already hear people through the podcast saying, okay, but what if you call, I call you and I say, hey, Rachel, it's Brian from Whistler. But what if it's not Rachel? I don't know if it's Rachel. I don't know if that's a real number.
They're going to tell you every time. They're going to tell you either way, right? If somebody says to me, oh, no, by the way, this is Rachel. If somebody calls me a different name, oh, is this, you know, Lynn? Oh, nope, sorry, this is Rachel. People will knee-jerk tell you whether it is or isn't. And great, if it's not, you can update it in your CRM. You'll have better data. It's not a real fear.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Whether you say, is this Rachel? Or, hey, Rachel. Either way, they're going to be like, not Rachel.
Right.
So yeah. Cool. I love that. So speed to lead, one. Number two, come from familiarity. Number three, and this we talked about, is going to be a little controversial. We talk about follow-up, but let's talk about the methods of follow-up, because follow-up just means connecting with them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could send a letter and be like, that's follow-up, but we're not talking about that. Let's talk about the from best to worst of follow-up in terms of digital communication. We'll take out letters and door knocking. How would you rank them?
So there's three of the classics, and then there's also a bonus one that I want to talk about as well. So we have our regular, our calls, our emails, our texts, and we also have sending video, right? So mm-hmm. we kind of have four main methods of mm-hmm. communication. And so ideally, you know, a lot of people will go really heavy on the emails because mm-hmm. they can type out a long thing. They have their email signature, they have links, and they'll send a lot of emails because honestly, it's easy, right?
It's easy.
It's super easy to send an email.
There's you don't have no to personalize risk. It. It's mm-mm. just boop, yep. send,
and so
send,
a
send.
Lot of agents will do really heavy email communication and be frustrated they get nothing. So email is actually at the bottom of my mm-hmm. list for that reason, even though it's the easiest. But just like anything else, I don't know about you, I don't read at probably even 10% of the emails that I get on a daily basis.
Especially if it's from someone I don't know.
Right, yeah, it's immediately getting deleted. So email is the lowest. Not saying that you can't do it, right? Some people will respond, but it's definitely the one I'd put the least amount of effort into.
Yep.
And then we also have...
It's also the one you can automate.
Yeah, totally.
And so I tell our agents when I teach our new agents, I actually say bulk messaging is bullshit. I said, don't worry, we'll handle it for you.
Yeah.
I say, I know I just said bulk messaging is bullshit, and then we send emails on your behalf. We do that so you don't have to. It helps make sure that we don't go 3 months, 9 months without ever sending this person information. But you're not going to build relationship. They're not going to go, wow. Good email. We're best friends. No one ever does that.
Right.
So don't be like, I emailed someone, I followed up with my leads.
It's a cop out for sure. It's a cop out. Yeah. And it's the easy button, right? But it's not to say that it doesn't work, you know, still sprinkle them in there to your point, right? Yep. It's better than nothing. Done is better than perfect.
Yep.
But it's not super effective, which leads us to the others. We have videos, phone calls, and texting. And so texting is usually the most popular as well. Same reason. And it's not, texting isn't bad. I think it gets vilified a lot. And it's another kind of version of an easy button. The good thing about texting though is most everybody will read their text messages, right? They may not always respond, but you're way more likely to read a text than an email. And mm-hmm. so it's not bad to be heavy on texting. That's how we all communicate in this day and age. But it's also not a place where you're really going to make that connection, right? You mm-hmm. might get a response, but you're not really building a lot of rapport over text. So, you know, yes, sprinkle it in. You'll get at least some eyeballs on it, but don't lean on it so much.
And with how the carriers are being and AP2, I don't know what it is, authentication, it's making it a lot harder to text. A lot more texts are getting filtered out. So if you just say, I'm going to send one text, and if you don't have a good CRM like Follow Up Boss that will actually tell you, hey, the carrier didn't send this text, then you're going to be like, I followed up and they never responded.
Right.
Maybe you didn't even get to their spam, right? Like,
yeah, so, we just don't know. So it's good, but also, again, not great, which leads us to our last two, which is phone call and video. And so these are probably the two most important methods that you should be using, but they're also the ones that agents are most afraid to use, mm-hmm. consequently, right? So phone calls is going to be your number one just because it's so accessible, right? It's so easy. People can answer a phone. They'll, you know, it happens all the time. And it's a great way because you have your texts to, you know, read things, but you really get that tonality over the phone, right? You can hear how somebody's actually communicating with you. You can really build rapport with them when you're actually on a phone call. You can hear that. And so a lot of people will say, well, people just don't answer. I'll just text them. Well, you can use text to get them on the phone, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you have to do one or the other. So some people are more comfortable texting first, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't call. So I always kind of like to think of it as like a 3-2-1, right? For every 3 calls, 2 texts, 1 email. Your calls should always be a lot higher than those other two forms of communication.
I've never heard that. I love that 3-2-1.
Yeah, it's an easy way to think about it. And then for the bonus one, the cherry on top is if you really want to stand out, to also sprinkle in some video in there. And so we've had great success with agents on our team sending videos. We have our agents film, you know, some evergreen videos that introduce them that they can send to all their clients because it puts a face to the name, right? It's no longer a chatbot or somebody who could be reaching out in this age with AI and so much automation. Is it, hey, you know, hey, this is Rachel at Whistle Realty. Just left you a voicemail. It was really great meeting you at the open house. I'm here if you have any questions. I would love to show you some more properties. It can be something as simple as that.
And it's so funny. Myself, I've been here at Whistle for 9 years, literally creating content is my job.
Yeah.
Right. In those 9 years, I've had one person ever in my life send me a video. It was over text, and I was doing an appraisal on my house, and he was like, "Hey, I'm Brian," I don't think his name was Brian, but he's like, "I'm so and so with whatever realty. I'm going to do an appraisal." He was a BPO. It doesn't matter. "I'm going to do a BPO on your house. I'll see you on Tuesday at 9. I'm like, that made an impact. That only one person has ever done that to me, and I don't know his name. It was 4 years ago.
It doesn't matter, but I remember liking the experience.
Yeah, and I was like, that's a cool experience that I got a video. And so then by the time when he came, I was like, I already know this guy. And I was like, I know the parasocial relationship. Like, we talk about all this in our Media Mayor Mastermind. We talk about all this stuff. But I'm like, oh, I experienced it. And it made a genuine physical impact on me. And I was like, man, this is easy. So once you have that experience, you might feel weird doing it to other people until it happens to you and you go, this is a better experience.
100%. And I love that you shared that example too. And it also is backed up with science, right? So I don't know if you've ever seen like the communication kind of pie chart breaking down how we receive communication, but essentially
Moravian's model.
Yeah. If you're nerdy, there's basically about 55% of how we receive and perceive communication from other people is all in body language. So it makes total sense that you felt that way. You can see them smile. You can see their facial expression, their eyes. You have an image of a person, right? And you also have the tonality, which is that other 38%. And then our words are only 7. So text and email, if we only get 7% of how we're receiving communication with just those written forms, we're losing out on so much. And so calls and video are really the things that you should build your follow-up on. Now, obviously, don't be a weirdo and send 1,000 videos over and over again, but sprinkling that in there so they know who you are with that positive spin, you know, having that body language, that facial expression for somebody to really match is going to make a big difference in how comfortable they are.
Now I'm going to, in my widget, I actually just changed my widget. I'm going to talk about how you can utilize video within your email. And so we'll talk about that at the end of the episode with my widget. But that's really cool. Okay, so speed to lead, come from familiarity. Calls is greater than text, which is greater than email. You put video in the front.
Cherry on top. Yeah, okay. It's not one to consistently overdo, yep. But if at least every lead that you have has a video, at least introducing yourself, you've done your job.
And I would put, we talked about this before, we didn't talk about it here, but voicemail at the very bottom.
We didn't talk about that here, but it's because we don't even need to talk about it. People aren't really reading voicemails. I don't know about you. I read the transcript of mine if I get them. Just text me.
Yep. And so if you call, you don't get an answer, follow up with a text, either a video text or just a regular text. Just tried to call you, blah, blah, blah.
I'm actually really glad before we move on from that, Brian, because a lot of times people will say, well, if I call, nobody answers. So you don't want to waste your follow-up time, you know, just sitting there and getting silence on the other end, right? If somebody doesn't answer, always follow up with a text or a video. That's best practice, right? Because we know people will look at that text message. So even if they don't respond, you at least have eyeballs on it. So if you're in a follow-up session, you're hearing, oh, I don't want to call people because they never answer, change your practice to start sending a text message after each one to let them know why you called. You're way more likely to get a response.
Great. Next, segment your leads based on intent. So you talked about this, and we'll go into don't in a second of like, don't do this. But you talked about segmenting them based on buyers, sellers, and past clients. Totally. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So we always want to be leading from value, right? When we're talking to as salespeople, how can we add value to this person? How can I make my communication with them meaningful and something they would actually want to hear? And so I think the easiest, obviously you can niche down and have specific types of buyers or sellers, but for the purpose of this, let's keep it broad, right? Let's keep it simple. So buyers do not really care about you as an agent, right? And so that's kind of a hit to our ego.
That's kind of a best case scenario usually. If you look at like Facebook groups or Nextdoor, a lot of people hate real estate agents.
They do. We get a bad rap. We're, you know, there's a low barrier to entry to the job.
Yeah.
People, you know, so
best case scenario, they don't care about you. Typical, they hate you.
Honestly,
which is annoying.
It's honestly, you're right. It's a good thing to be aware of. But so the good news is that means that the pressure is off. You don't have to make it about you. And the more helpful way to think about this is buyers really just want properties.
Yeah.
They just want to see houses. You as an agent are kind of like their access card to properties. So the more properties that you can provide, the better you'll be seen in their eyes, right? And so rather than, you know, hey, I'm here if you need anything, kind of just checking in type of, and we'll get into that in a bit, but we really want to keep your communication very property heavy,
yeah.
Sending them properties they might want to see. finding off-market properties for them, asking them what they think about X property. Hey, I'm at a broker open. This house is coming soon. I think this would fit your needs, right? As long as your communication is I would say 80% of your communication is, what do you think about this house? Here's why I think you'd like this one. Do you want to see it? What about this house? I've picked these for you. Do you like this one? What don't you like about this one, right? That's how you're going to get the most response, because that's what buyers want. They want houses. So the more that you can give access to them, to houses to them, the better they're going to see and be seen in your eyes. So keeping your follow-up very focused on that is going to be the best way to win with them.
So buyers want properties. What a seller wants?
Sellers really, I mean, you're the seller's portal to money, right? So mm-hmm. they're seeing you from a lot more scrutinous lens than just a buyer, right? Because they're paying for all of this. And so buyers care a lot more about professionalism because
sellers, you mean?
Yes, thank you. Sellers care a lot more about professionalism because they want that high net. They want to get mm-hmm. the most money possible. I don't think I've ever met somebody who's like, you know, I guess there are a few who don't care about that. There are situations, but most of all, people want to max out what they can make on their mm-hmm. house. And so you need to be presenting yourself in a professional light. And that's where people care about, what are your unique value propositions that you have at your company? How can your company get me more money? What is your track record? What's your experience? How have you dealt with situations like mine in negotiating? And so with sellers, you're going to be telling a lot more about your experience, about your company. You're going to be leaning on what you can do, what you've done. You know, it's not just, hey, here's a property, work with me. And so with sellers, with that high professionalism, you want to make sure that you're articulating those things. Do you know your team or your brokerage's value propositions? How do you compare to the competition? Are you able to explain that? Are you able to explain what's going on in the market? Because when they see you as a professional, kind of back to what you said earlier, not just the schmuck that most people think, that's how they're going to decide, well, okay, I want to work with her. I want to work with him. They know what they're talking about. And so working on leveling up your skills for really knowing what's going on is going to help you win with sellers.
And then past clients, what do they want?
Past clients just want to be remembered, right? They're technically no longer your client, but they're one of your best sources for repeat business and referrals, right? And mm-hmm. so we never just want to do a transaction and then, hey, see you, never talk to you again, right? And so I would recommend at least a quarterly reach out, right? Once a quarter at bare minimum. If you had a good relationship with them, reach out more, right? You know, keep that relationship alive. But, you know, doing things like easy, like dropping mailers for holidays, a quick card. You don't even have to spend a lot of money, but just, hey, thinking of you, personalizing it, sending them a quick video every once in a while to check in back in. See, hey, how's your house doing? I know it's been a while. Hope you guys are still loving it. If you need any recommendations of vendors or anything, I've got you covered. Hope all is well, you know, best of luck. Easy things like that, like little presents. Some of our agents will drop off, you know, spring cleaning with a, mm-hmm. you know, a sponge and a cute, you know, scented thing. Costs like maybe $10 with a basket and a note. That's something that's really meaningful that helps them be remembered and keeps them thinking of you in a good light.
I want to add a few more things here for past clients. One of the things we have a podcast, you can find it, past client events, friends and family events. We're doing one in a couple of weeks where we rented out a whole movie theater. You can do big events. You can do small events. You can do, you know, a fight night or a poker night or a wine and cheese night. You can go whatever but inviting them to parties or events helps them feel remembered and appreciated.
Totally.
Whether they can go or not, whether they want to go or not, the fact that they got an invite is cool. And then you talked about past client gifts. There are some people that are very good at gift giving, and there's some people that get overwhelmed and can't ever do anything. Big shout out to Client Giant. We use them for a lot of our past clients. I know Kyle uses it for all of his past clients. Huge fan of them. They're all about unbranded, unexpected gifts. I love them so much. Literally, I texted Jay O'Brien, one of the founders, I believe, of Client Giant. He sent me a randomly, just out of the blue. I'm not on any of his drip or anything. He sent me a bottle of olive oil. And it's like, hey, this is a good bottle of oil. And now I'm out of it. And I'm like, so I text him like, hey, bud. I was just thinking about you. I'm also out of your stuff. I didn't tell him that because that's a dick. Like, give me more gifts. But
it's a thought that counts.
Yeah. Client Giant, huge fans, not sponsored, but I love them. Okay, so we've got four do's. I want to go to the don't section here. So for our do's, speed to lead. Two is come from familiarity. Three is calls, text, then email. 3-2-1. Three calls to two texts to one email. Four is segment based on intent. Buyers, sellers, past clients. Let's go into the don'ts. And this is hard because it's so easy. It's so, we fall into it so naturally. It's almost as if someone, when we were a baby, told us, when following up with people, say, hey, I'm checking in or I'm following up. It's almost like everyone feels the need to say that, but that's kind of the worst thing you can say. It's basically like, hey, I don't know what to say. What's up? Right?
Right.
So hey, I'm checking in or I'm following up, this is no good. Don't do that. Remove that from your vocabulary.
100%.
Can you tell us what to replace it with? Because that's where I get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fair, right? We're all going to do this. I've done it before. I'm sure I'll do it again. I think the easiest thing is, why are you actually calling besides checking in, right? We know that we can't directly say, hey, do you want to buy yet? Right? Are you ready to sell your house now? Right? We don't want to come off as salesy. So I think this is where you really want to know your intent of the call before you call them. Are you calling to give new information? Are you calling to follow up on information they were going to give to you? I think the better way to think about this is to reverse engineer where you want to go on the next call. If you don't set good expectations with your client, you're going to end up doing exactly that. You're like, well, I don't really know what to say. I don't remember where we left off, so I'm just going to call to check in. So the way to avoid this, I would say, actually starts with the first call that you have with them and starts with setting expectations. And so what that looks like is you always want to leave them with when you're going to call next, why you're going to call next, and what they're going to get out of it. So an example of that would be probably the most common one, right, for buyers. Usually, when we're working with buyers, we send them properties. We hope they like one of them. We want to get them to a showing, which gets them to an offer, which gets us to an escrow, right? And so most of the time, we'll say things like, well, if you see anything you like, feel free to reach out. I can set up any showings you want, right? It's kind of like, hey, good luck. I'm here. Let me know.
What the client knows, though, is, yeah, I can too.
Right.
I can go to Zillow and ask.
Totally. They can, and it's not a huge value add. So instead, what we want to do is we want to get their buy-in. When are we going to call next? Why are we going to call next? What's in it for them? And so what that could look like is, hey, I'm going to go ahead and send you some properties. We'll use your example, right? I know you want to stay in Santee, well, at least 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms with a yard. I know that's important to you. I'm going to send properties that fit that criteria to you. When you get a chance this week, would you mind looking at them?
Of course.
Yeah, you're nodding your head. Of course you'll look at them. Obviously. Great. I got your buy-in. Hey, you're going to do this for me, right? Cool. I'm going to send them. You're going to look at them. After you've taken a look at some of them, if you could let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, if there's any you want to see, I'd love to get your very specific feedback on these so I can send you better properties in the future to make sure that mm-hmm. these are matching. Does it sound fair?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, cool. So I'm going to call you on Friday after you've had some chances to, you know, take a look at them, see what there is. And if you like any of them, we can go see them. And if not, we'll go back to the drawing board and I'll find some stuff off market or we'll rechange the search. How does that sound?
That's good. I like right? that.
Right. So now, so we have a
plan.
And that's
easy.
It's so easy.
And what I love about that, what I get in the trap of is I'm like, oh, we could do this. And I can't, sometimes it's really hard to teach to real estate agents at large what our team does very specifically. You know, we're going to use this. You mentioned off market, and like we sure. have a big network of off market right. properties. A lot of agents out there don't, which is what's one of the things that makes our team unique. Every agent has access to do exactly what you just said. I love that.
And the cool thing too is it makes them feel like, oh, there was a purpose to that call. Like, I know what's going to happen. I know when it's going to happen. I know why, right? This mm-hmm. is a benefit to me. And so you've set the time. And a lot of times agents will just say, oh, I'll call you later or I'll follow up later, which leads you to another thing, right? If I don't know about you, but sometimes if I get a call from somebody I'm not expecting a call from, I don't always want to answer because mm-hmm. I'm like, what do they want? Oh, mm-hmm. maybe they'll just text me. I don't know why they'd be calling. And I get this anxiety, even mm-hmm. for people that I already know, right? Yeah. Which is embarrassing, right? I should just answer the phone. But if I'm like that, as somebody who's generally pretty extroverted,
yeah,
right? I'm sure most of us can relate to that, right? So the cool thing about that is when they see your number as the agent calling on their phone, they're not like, oh, well, what does this realtor Rachel want from me? Oh yeah, Rachel said she was gonna call me Friday to talk about the properties. Oh yeah, right? I know exactly what to expect. I know why they're calling. I know what we're gonna talk about. Anxiety's gone, and now I answer.
Yep.
And so rather than having these unanswered calls, you know exactly what it is, why we're having this conversation. You pick up, there's no anxiety. We have a plan. We have something to talk about. We're talking about the property. So instead of saying, hey, following up, you say, hey, Brian, so good to talk to you. Happy Friday. What'd you think of the properties? Right? We launch right mm-hmm. into conversation and mm-hmm. it's friendly. I am upbeat about it. I'm not, hey, let's look at properties, but I have a directive.
You're looking at me, a jerk.
Right. I have a directive. I'm not following to check in. And so when you backwards plan that, it becomes really easy to remove the, hey, just following up from your vocabulary, but it starts with setting expectations from the last call.
I love that. And one of the things that you were specific about that my last boss, shout out to Tim Hsu. He's not listening to this, but I like him anyway. he was like, always be specific about when you're going to do it. Don't say later or soon or even next week.
Yeah.
When?
Pick a day.
I'll follow, and this is great just for everything. I'll follow up with you by Friday by noon. So that would, like, especially if you're working with your sellers, hey, let me get back to you on that. I'll figure out by Friday by noon. And you comes Friday by noon, you don't have that information. Hey, seller, I don't have that information yet. I'm still waiting to hear back from three other quotes. I'm going to follow up with you by Tuesday at 2.
And that feels so good because it sounds like, one, I can trust you. You're a person of your word. I know when to expect it. It just makes such a more of an elevated experience for the client to really know that specifically. So that would be my best practice on that.
All right, let's go through these other don'ts here before we get into our widget. And I do want to talk about, as an agent, they hear this, they go, okay, I want to do this. How do I track it? We'll talk about that in a minute. So a couple more don'ts that I want to go through fairly quick. Don't overqualify. Tell me.
So a lot of agents will try to get too much information out of the initial phone call, right? And it's this balancing act, right? Because if we're in a good flow with somebody and they're talking to us, we don't want to shut them down. But if we overqualify them and give up everything before we've met with them, we're sort of not really giving them a good reason to meet with us because now we've talked about everything, right? So we want to have this fine balance of learning enough so they feel like they want to meet us. We have that rapport, but I'm not doing a whole buyer's consultation on the phone, mm-hmm. right? And so my biggest piece of advice was don't ask for everything. Keep it simple. What's your ALM, right? Zillow knows they have bigger data than we ever do, right? So why would I try to do something different, right?
And ALM stands for?
Appointment, location, motivation, mm-hmm. right? Hey, let's go see a property, right? Buyers, back to a point from earlier, buyers want property. So let's try to keep it focused. We always want to meet people. So directing people to a showing. Was this the main location you liked? Is this kind of similar? Great. Some sort of question about location. Is this the only area you're interested in? What did you like about this location? You know, some variation of that. And then motivation. What has you thinking about moving right now, right? Like, why is this a good time to buy? Why are you thinking about selling? What's happening in your life right now? And so keeping it really simple, right? And if they want to expand, you can riff on that. But if you go through, oh, well, this is all my finance stuff and this is why, and then and you have this whole call, you've kind of left no meat on the bone. And so overqualifying them can hurt you in the long run, since we know that 70% of people work with the first agent that they meet with. 70%'s high. So the faster we can get to meeting.
I actually think that's probably low. That's like, knowing myself as a consumer, like, I probably work with the first person I talk to 90%.
If you do a good enough job, you eliminate the need to interview,
so,
right?
So yeah, like me as a consumer, like I'm not saying like I'm so good that I always, no, but like when I meet with someone, like, again, my garage door, I mentioned it earlier. The guy, the ISA was so good on the phone. He literally set the appointment. I had a guy show up to my house an hour after I made the call fixing it. I didn't have a chance to get another quote. He was just like, done. I'm like,
great.
Okay, how much do I owe
speed
you?
Speed to lead, textbook.
It was great. Nuts. It was insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that. Don't overqualify. And you said you gave people a one freebie rule.
Yeah. And so typically, you know, part of the job in real estate, I think sometimes we're almost too protective of our own time, but really mm-hmm. as an agent, your job is to meet with people. If you are not having at least one meeting with a new person every week, that should be every agent's goal, meet with one new client every week. You need to spend more time lead generating, more time following up with those leads, right? And so your only job is to get people to an in-person meeting where you can have the rest of that body language. You can talk to them in person. You can really dive in and get that buy-in with them. And so your phone calls are really just a vehicle to get to that in-person meeting with them. And so don't give them objections. Well, hey, well, you're not pre-approved yet, so let's do that before we can see a house. Well, somebody else is going to show it to them. They're going to meet them, like them, be like, actually, I have an agent. I'm good. And they're going to buy a $2 million house with someone else. So don't be afraid to waste a little bit of time and just know it's part of the gig. Sometimes you're going to meet with people who aren't qualified, and that's crappy. But sometimes you're going to meet with somebody who's just not qualified yet, who's a $3 million cash buyer, and you did a great job, right? So it's that law of averages, and just getting to the meeting is going to help you make more money.
All right, two more quick ones. Don't send a novel in your text messages.
Yes. We want to keep text message short and sweet. When we get, even just looking through our CRM and kind of doing an inventory of what is getting responded to, what's not. Agents who are sending long novels about, hey, just checking in and blah, 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 and here's how I am, and what do you think about this, this, and this, they're not getting responded to. It's overwhelming. I don't know about you, but we all look at so much different stimulus during the day that it's like, if something's too long, it's requiring a lot of mental load for me to look at that and respond. I'm way more likely to respond to a quick question.
And so here's a good rule of thumb. If you send the text and they have to scroll to see the whole thing, it's too
it's
long.
It's way too long. Yeah.
It's a text message. It's you think about it like the old school tweet versus an email. It's just something
quick. It's a
great
analogy.
So keep your text short. And then with that on the text, have one call to action.
So not more than one. A lot of agents will do, hey, well, what do you think about this? One. Not less than one, but always end have one question. And if it's a short and sweet, a couple phrases with the ending with a question, you've built the perfect text message.
Yeah, because we'll see like, hey, what did you think about 123 Main Street and this and this? And do you want to see houses on Saturday? They're like, that's a lot of questions I have to do.
Yeah, you're probably only going to respond to one. Yeah. So keep it short. So
just do one. And I love that. And we've built a lot of campaigns together. I love ending with a question.
Me too.
I hate being like, hey, do you want to see this house? Hope all is well. Like, no.
Right.
That's a bad, don't use that text message. But if you were to use it, start with hope all is well and then end with a question. But that's 100%. Bad anyways. Okay. So we've got our do's, speed to lead, come from familiarity, call 3 calls to 2 texts to 1 email. And number 4 is segment based on intent. We have our 4 don'ts. Don't use the word checking in or following up. Don't overqualify. Keep it simple. Get them to in person. Don't send out novels in a text message. Keep it short and simple. And have one call to action. Not 3, not 4, not 0. One call to action for every message. And this is true for email. This is true for text messages. This is true if you're doing a video. Obviously, call, you can go back and forth a lot more. But if it's a one-way communication, one call to action. Okay, an agent hears this. Someone's listening and they go, okay, I want to do all this. And they may be a high C personality on the DISC profile. They love spreadsheets. They love metrics. They go, okay, I'm going to build this whole dashboard to figure out who to follow. Blah, 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 blah. And they can do what I do very often is overcomplicate it and build this whole thing without doing a single follow-up. Give me one metric that they need to track that this is the number one thing that if you're looking to improve your follow-up, focus on this number, you will get more closings.
Average contact attempts per lead. So the more that you are, you have perseverance, the more that you reach out, the more likely you are to get a contact. And so at least in our market, it takes us about 23 outbound attempts just to get a response. So that means we have to either call, email, video, text 23 times before somebody will even say, hey, screw you. Yes, I'm interested. No, I'm not interested. Anything at all. An emoji that means nothing, right? It takes us that long to get a response. And so the best thing, this most simple way is I can say is look at your average contact attempts. If you have FUB, it makes it really easy to see in the reporting page.
FUB is follow-up boss.
FUB is follow-up boss, yes. So you can look in the reporting page about your average contacts per lead. And so my biggest focus would be to increase that. If you realize I'm only calling leads 1 or 2 times, your goal this week should be to have 3 or 4 times for every lead, right? Meet you with where you're at, start small. But you should at least be having double-digit outreach attempts to every lead in your database.
On the first 5 minutes.
Right? On the first 5 minutes.
Call them 26 times in the first 5 minutes. You're going to have blocked. 7 phones.
Yeah.
Go. Very cool. Before we get into our whistle widget of the way, and I already previewed mine, is going to talk about how to utilize video to improve that communication. If you enjoyed this, I would love if you would share this with someone that you think would add value. Either it could be your team leader. It could be an agent that you work with. It could be someone that's looking to get into real estate and they think it's like selling sunset and you want to tell them, hey, it's a little bit more than that. It could be an agent. It could be your mentor or your mentee. Just share this with someone. If you thought of someone at all during this, it's also a great way to follow up with someone. Maybe you're trying to recruit someone. Send it to them. And if you got this sent to you and maybe they're trying to recruit you, who knows? Also go to, if you like this, you want more, go to thewhistleway.com. On there, you'll find so much to help you grow your business. Access to our Facebook group, subscribe to our YouTube channel, access to our email newsletter, which we send out every week. Access to join our referral network as people leave San Diego. Let us know what areas you work. So it helps us find a referral partner. Very easy. Also, you can learn information about our courses that we sell. Right now, we have our Media Mayor Mastermind course on sale. That's the course that Kyle and I teach you everything we know about creating and distributing content to make sure you give valuable content to people so they actually watch it. They're not going to watch your market update video every single month, every single week. Give them content that they actually care about that helps you transact. That's there too. I think there's one more thing on there, or 2 or 3. I don't know. Lots of cool stuff on there. Thewhistleway.com. Okay, let's kick it off into our whistle widget of the week. Rachel, I'll let you go first. This is something that we use in our life, in our business, that helps us save time, make more money, or just helps us have some more fun. What do you got for us?
So today my widget is the Tezza app, T-E-Z-Z-A. It's my favorite photo editing app that I've ever found. It also does video as well, and it has some really cool features if you just want to zhuzh up your Instagram or using that as a verb, right? If you just want to have some really cool, not overly edited, but there's a ton of different presets, filters. It's founded by one of my favorite influencers, Tezza Barton. She's just great, and her app is really cool. It's one of the more unique photo editing apps that I've found. There's just a lot of cool features that does video as well. So something that I really enjoy.
I'm downloading it as we speak. That's cool. I'm always looking for a new photo editing app. Mine is a way you can send email or send videos through emails while having kind of a preview. It's from a company that we know and love called BombBomb, B-O-M-B, B-O-M-B. It will allow you to embed videos into your email, which is not the case for 99% of emails. A lot of times you'll have to send either a photo and hyperlink it so they click on it and then goes to YouTube or a link to a video. What's really cool about BombBomb is it integrates not only within Gmail really easily, but it'll also integrate with certain CRMs. Again, I know it integrates with Follow Up Boss. And so really easily you can send a video, like, you can record videos, you can upload videos, and then it'll create an animated photo. I don't want to say it. Kyle's not here. GIF, I'll just say that. It's a sense of contention between Kyle and I, how to pronounce that. But you can send it through BombBomb. You can track if they've opened it. So if if you're trying to get in contact with someone, you can see if they've clicked on the video. You can see if they've watched it. Great tool. We love it for integrating videos into our follow-up email campaigns through Follow Up Boss, which is huge. Big fans. BombBomb. Rachel, thank you so much. Again, if people want to connect with you, email you at rachelchu@whistlerealty.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here with us. We will see you all next week.